Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey y'all, I'm Moni and you're mixing with Moni, okay? Welcome to my weekly mixer where I take your favorite Bravo shows, TV news, and hot topics, mix it with my opinions and some of my friends' opinions, a little shade, and sometimes a cocktail or two. I'm bringing in my POC perspective to shows we all love. Let's mix it up.
Hello, 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 all you beautiful and wonderful mixologists out there. It is your girl, Moni, and you are listening to Mixing with Moni. Okay, I am so excited. It doesn't sound like I'm rushing. Yes. Am I slightly losing my mind? Also, yes. But it's okay because I am centered with you all now. I did promise another episode, and that is the majority of the reason why I am here, is to talk about the things that I did not talk about on my last episode, which I hope everyone enjoyed. But now we have to get into the nitty-gritty of what's actually going on Bravo, what's real time, hot topics, and the things that we just saw. Well, Kathy Hilton, what is going on there? Like, where has she been all our lives? So all those things that you actually care about me talking about, that is what we're here to do. And I couldn't do it alone because, again, I'm falling apart. So the glue that will put me back together and the light of this episode, who will give us all the joy, because if you have not seen his TikToks recreating what is literally the bane of my existence, which is just generally mommy bloggers and YouTubers and all the influencers on the internet who just think that every little thing that they do and like the way they cut a banana is like the best thing since cutting a banana, you have not lived. Haters on Instagram, Hayden Cohen in real life, Bravoholic, social media influencer, amazing content creator. Just honestly, you're going to laugh. You're going to absolutely love anything that he makes. And I got him here today, and I'm very, very excited to do it because I don't get to hear enough of his Bravo hot takes, and I want to bring them here to the people so that you can fall in love just as quickly as I did. Thank you so much for coming on, Hayden.
My God, thank you for having me, and thank you for that introduction. Honestly, I am honored to be here. Hello, mixers. Yay. Like, let's go. There's so many Bravo hot topics that like we need to discuss. I feel like,
oh my God,
has been crazy. There's just always so much going on in the Bravo universe, and like only so little time for us to talk about it. But like, I'm very happy to be able to talk with you today.
Yes, I'm so excited. Like I said, I did a re-release last week of a Patreon episode where I've been rewatching old episodes of different Housewives franchises, like episode one. And normally I do hot topics in the Patreon, but y'all know I'm in the middle of a move. I'm so stressed. I am so stressed that I'm just like laughing. Like, I have nothing else to do but laugh. I'm also about to laugh.
You have to. You're gonna cry. Like,
and if I do cry, I'm probably still going to laugh. I thought about crying this morning and I was like, that would be such a waste of time. Like, I can't cry because then I won't be able to either eat or unpack something. So let me either multitask, I don't know. But somehow I find time for the important things like this. Yeah. So normally I would release a hot topic or something like on the Patreon as well. But again, that's like 14 levels of editing I don't want to do. So we're just going to have the best time talking about these crazy, crazy women who have been doing crazy things, but keeping us so well entertained.
So entertained. Honestly, Bravo is at a premium right now, and I would pay a premium to subscribe.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to, I guess we do with our cable subscriptions, but beyond
that, right.
Bravo just is cranking it out right now. I mean, we had New Jersey just wrapped. We have Beverly Hills, New York. Potomac is coming back, which I am so excited about.
God bless. Thank you, Jesus.
Like, then we're going to say news about like OC potentially like having the contract sent out. Like, it's just yes. like on right now. And I love talking to fellow people who like actually understand, because as much as I want to pretend my mom and my friends do, like, you get it. Like, we are.
And who care?
The same wavelength.
They understand that these things matter. Like, I texted multiple people when I heard that the OC contracts were going out soon, or that they would. I was told they don't know if the actual contracts will go out, but they know that the ladies will find out if they're mm-hmm. coming back or not this week. And I'm like, so how do I turn post notifications on to like your cell phone? Like, I need you to personally text me the moment you hear anything, which is crazy because I don't really care much for OC, at least not lately. I yeah. like old seasons. I have been rewatching at the recommendation of Sam, Bravo historian. I've watched 8, 9, 10, and 11 while packing and unpacking things. And yes. These are the Brooks years, which I remember at the moment being like, this is crazy. But I have not revisited it since they aired. And I am like, the OC had no chance of being good anymore after these years. Yeah. I don't know what we're expecting, but you would have to work a miracle, because these are like, Vicky is a nut. She's a nutcase, but the best television I've ever seen. I didn't appreciate her.
Where you're with Detective Megan King Edmonds.
And she's oh my God.
Like, she is an OG, like, bone collector. Like, we don't give her
oh
enough.
Oh my God, credit. A true sleeper.
And I am just so happy that you are getting to see all of her and her joy and like everything that she brings to the table.
Oh my God, this is like, I just finished the episode. It's the finale. It's Tamara's baptism, where Heather finds out that there's a story going around that Brooks had to call Terry in the middle of the night because he was so sick, and Terry yeah. had to call a colleague yes. to come and give him a IV. And in the moment I was like, well, that's a crazy lie, but now I'm like, you're right, that would never happen, because no self-respecting surgeon would not say, hey, because the first thing that you do when you call your doctor, if it's after hours, they're like, if this is an emergency, right? Go to the hospital. 911.
Terry and Brooks are not besties. It's not like me,
right?
A friend of mine who's a nurse, and like asking her like if I should take Tylenol.
Hey, it's girl, like should I do this? And Terry would not then call a colleague to go and do it. You know yeah. what I mean? He would not take that level of risk if you had the cancer and all these things. So I'm just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And like, it just all is, I just finished part one of the reunion. This is back when like three-parters actually meant mm-hmm. that, like, the first part, we get rid of everything else that we all dealt with all season long, Shannon and the marriage, the affair, Tamara, all these things. And now we have to get to the nitty-gritty for 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is when three parts meant something. Because right. we actually had something to get done. What is your relationship with OC, and what are you excited for it to come back? Do you want anyone to come back? Like, are you hoping for a clean sweep? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I have watched OC from the beginning. It's literally like my origin story with Real Housewives is from the OC, because when it first came out, I watched it with my mom. And this was like, what, 15 years ago? So I was like 11, 10 years old. And that's how like I got introduced to Bravo. It's how I got introduced to the Housewives, obviously. And I was just instantly in love with it. Vicky, OG of the OC, like OG of all the Housewives. I loved her until her downfall after the Brooks mm-hmm. situation. She kind of just like went downhill from there. But I am really excited. I honestly think the OC needs like a complete reboot. I love the idea of bringing some people back, keeping a couple people from the current cast and throwing in some new people. If I did have to pick two people to come back, it would be like, I've heard the rumors that it's Heather and Tammy Sue.
Mm-hmm.
I am in for that, because I want Heather and Gina Kirsten to interact.
Like, okay, you're not the first person to bring that up to me. And they were like, could you imagine Heather and Gina like trying to form a friendship? I'm like, oh my God, can I? In a weird way, I can.
The wealth gap would just be insane.
And the way that Heather would condescend her in a way of like age and class, yep. but kind of treat Gina as if she needs to like take her under her wing. And Gina's like, I'm a grown woman who doesn't need to be taken under a wing. I've been on the show multiple seasons now. Yeah. And Heather's like, okay, but like, no.
No, really though. No. I think that we need fancy pants, and we need Gina and her horrible hair extensions. Like, we need them to and see what happens. And then I want Shannon to stay because I'm very interested to see how her and Tamra interact if they come back together on the show, because they had really they're not friends anymore. And I just know that like Daddy Andy will like send us the gods and like throw them into a room together and they just let them go at it. And like I really need to see that. So those are the four that I want from like previous and current casts. I think that we need some like new meat, because like looking at Salt Lake City, looking at Potomac, like it's proof in the pudding that new meat succeeds. The fans love people. So I just feel like we need some fresh, thirsty blood in.
Yeah. And I think you raise a good point, because what I love about Potomac is that they don't wait for it to get stale before they refresh it. Mm-hmm. We only went one season before we got Monique, and only two seasons before we got Candace. Yeah. They were like, here's a new one, here's a new one. And we're like, whoa, okay, hold on. Yeah. Like, we're just getting into Giselle and Karen good. And they're like, well, let me throw a new one at you now. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, we're into it now. So then Wendy came like two seasons later. Like they keep refreshing. And I think that makes for really great television. I think OC definitely needs so much refresh. I am currently more excited for Vanderpump Rules than I am OC. And I gave up on Vanderpump Rules as well. And I'm like, this is what Bravo does though. I never give up. It's always like, I'm taking a break and I'm making a very big stand. Yeah. And then I sit down and it's like, never mind. Yeah. I have no longer made the stand. I'm back.
They always find a way to reel you back in. You know, I'm the same way. Vanderpump Rules, I probably haven't watched consistently, like on a week-to-week basis in like 2-3 years. But I know what
missed all nothing.
I know what all are doing. The only things I missed are like the new girls and like pasta not being eaten. That girl that never had pasta, who like had pasta. Mm. I didn't miss much. I still know that like everything.
You missed nothing. Whereas this season, I would like to see at least James Kennedy, this arc that he has of being like, we're worried about you. Like, are you well? And then now he's like engaged and he's sober. And I'm like, oh my God, you're well.
Yeah, that's good.
We love wellness over here. This is like a really weird and controversial question, because I get so much interesting thought process about Andy. Everyone is either love or hate Andy, especially when he's on reunions and how he handles things. You mentioned Daddy Andy throwing them into a room together, making them fight. I love that energy. I think he will give us that. I personally feel like Andy would be more likable if he stopped pretending like he has nothing to do with anything and was fully like in his bag of, girl, I am out here manipulating shit. I want to make it good. I'm making it pop, making it nice. I want to know. I wish Annie could like tweet us and be like, if watching everything happen with Simon, Portia, Fallon, Atlanta, I would love a nice reassuring text from Andy, a tweet, a DM, anything that says it will make it happen.
Honestly,
don't worry, something's going to come out.
I think we need to get Andy on like Bravo chat room. Like I want his opinions on things. Like I don't really care for like Hannah Burner's opinions or even like Portia's on Bravo stuff, but like I want to know what Andy thinks about, you know, X, Y, and Z. He honestly all the time pretends that he's like LVP and that he like doesn't have a hand in things, but you know he's behind the scenes, like moving chess pieces around, doing so much. Like there is not a doubt in my mind that he's behind every single thing. And I just would love for him to one time, like even if it's a special on Watch What Happens Live where he's like, this is my opinion on this. I hated this season. I hated this storyline.
Yeah.
Give us some like actual legitimate tea, like behind the scenes.
Yes.
Fascinated in like the logistics of Housewives than like anything. Like I need it from him. But he is daddy. Like,
yeah. We love and appreciate him. I wish that, because to me, it's like bosses typically have a thought on your work. If he went on Bitch Sesh, which he did earlier the year, and said, you know, Erica Jane does talk about her divorce, not to the amount that I would have liked, but here's why, or here's what she told me why she couldn't. I would have loved if she had gotten in there and answered these questions too. I would like to know that, because then I can also know, I'm an informed judge, because I'm going to judge it. So I like to be an informed judge on all the facts. I would love if he was like, I mean, yeah, I only ever know where he stands with the women until at the reunion when he seemingly is picking a side or is like telling them, well, you know, you did say this, but I'm like, you can actually get in there a little more and give all of them the business, because what are they going to do? Tell you no? I mean, Brandi Glanville did famously say, well, fuck you, Andy. And where is she now?
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Now she's on Botch somewhere, getting botched.
Or Botch Alert.
He very clearly took a side with Monique and Candace at the Potomac reunion. And I think a lot of people were put off by that because he didn't hold them really the same standard. So, I mean, there's a give and a take. Like, I would love to know his opinions, but when he goes too hard and shows his cards a little too much, then it turns me off. So I feel like it's a double-edged sword. I don't know. It's definitely hard to figure it out. But, you know.
Okay. And so then the same question remains then on New Jersey. We're hearing that they're going to start filming today. That's very, it's just such a weird contrast because OC, they have not known what they were doing this entire time, like for months. And New Jersey just wrapped pretty much 48 hours ago. And they're like, all right, back to work, bitches. Let's go. Get back. Come on. Like, what do you think about this idea that there was a rumored new cast member, then it was like, nope, no new ones. Then it was rumored friends of, and then it was like, eh, maybe it's a new person again. And now it's just like, this is going to be now like the longest set in history to have the same cast, no changes. Mm-hmm. And it's all the same people before. How did you end your relationship with this last season of New Jersey and the cast? And are you cool with them not changing anything?
I am cool with them not changing anything, just because I think that Jersey is such a fan favorite and there are such clear divisions in the group. There are so many like layers to it. And with the added bonus of the husbands, like I want more husband content. Like if they don't want to add in a new cast member, but can add in more husband content, like absolutely I'm there for it. Also, I just think that Jersey's seasons, while they pack a punch, they need to be filmed for a longer period of time because there's so much that happens that like we don't see that is off screen. And I feel like if they only filmed for what, like three and a half months, but I think seasons, like most seasons are filmed for like 4 months. Like I want that type of longer duration of filming just so that there are more, you know, layers to the drama, because you can only make up so many times with somebody within 3 months. Like, I want to see Jennifer and Marge going at it multiple times. I want to see Teresa and Jackie going at it again. I want Melissa to have a real storyline. I want, you know.
Do we feel hopeful about that? I don't.
I really appreciate Melissa for what she is. Not everybody needs to play a main starring role in a season, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think that she does her part very well.
And her part is what?
A supporting cast member.
with a full-time salary and holding a nothing in New Jersey.
Yes.
But in the spot of, okay. So we love that she plays her part as part-time energy with full-time benefits.
Yes. And I think she's the only one that really holds, I mean, and Dolores, but she really holds Teresa accountable because her role is really Teresa's accountability coach. She is Teddy Mellencamp for Teresa, because since she's her sister-in-law, I feel like she's just held to a different standard with her. And I really feel like their relationship, like Teresa wouldn't be as A-list as like, as much as I love her, like she wouldn't be as good on the show if Melissa wasn't there and added that family dynamic.
She is a great foil. I do believe she's a great foil. I feel like she could still be friend of, because as much as I believe that she is a good accountability mirror to Teresa, she's still too meek in that role. Whereas Dolores, with or without love, Teresa just doesn't question Dolores. Like Dolores says, you know that was wrong. And she's like, oh yeah, maybe. And she's like, yeah, it was. She knows it was wrong. And I'm like, great. But Dolores would just pass the whole punch. And I know a lot of people think, well, we need Melissa because we need Joe. Dolores gets two men on the show. Why can't Teresa have two men? Whatever man she's dating, and her brother. We've always wanted her brother. The brother lives close. He's involved in the kids' lives because they do not have a father or a grandfather in the States right now with them. Their grandfather has passed on. She would obviously need the help. her brother could be her man, like the man on the show for her. And then we would still get Joey, which I could give or take, but I do think he definitely adds a fun dynamic to the show. There's never been a better scene for me than when he's calling Dolores drunkenly broken and looking at Frank and saying, "You broke her." And Frank is literally confused. He's like, "Huh? What are you saying?" Like, he's
I also think so confused. If we gave Melissa the Luann treatment, like it could be beneficial for her, where Luann was downgraded to a friend of one season. She came back with a punch. Now, like Luann, I mean, she's a fan favorite for some people until the most recent episode.
Yeah, she's a fan favorite currently on probation.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like Melissa, maybe we downgrade her for a season and then she comes back with a vengeance and really delivers for us. Who knows? I feel like it probably won't happen, but I could see it like panning out well for her, for the show. I would love them to maybe sprinkle in somebody new, like a new friend of that's going to be upgraded next season, but I'm happy with Jersey as good as it is staying the same.
So Michelle did not do it for you. This Michelle, realtor, awesome. Not for many, but have to ask. Everyone is entitled to their opinion, no matter how wrong it is on this show. But in this case, that was the right one. Michelle did it for no one. I mean, Teresa was never buying that house. What do you think of this man? Do you believe in the whole Dirty Louise thing? Like he might be like a Brooks of the East Coast. I'm currently watching the Brooks season.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, if Louise comes back with a really random sickness, I would not be surprised. I do see some similarities. Now that I'm like back in it, I'm like, oh, wait, there are some things watching the whole show and acting like they're so aloof to their life, but like it's praising the ground they walk on, like, and everything about it's the love bombing. It's very interesting. It's the manipulation of like, no one wanted you but me, but I love you. You know, I love you because even if no one else sees the beauty in you, I do. It's like, wait a minute, have I been insulted? Or not.
I think it's a little too good to be true and too soon, too quick. I get that when you are older, relationships, yes, they move a little bit faster. And we don't even...
Yeah, but like move in together. Not like buy a $3 million home when you haven't sold the other one with money that's yours, not his.
Exactly. And like, I don't know. I've just seen a lot of things about him online with like his ex girlfriends and like all this like random like relationship drama that he's had in the past. I don't know if you've seen the same stuff too, but
yes,
it just seems like he is opportunistic and he came on a little too strong. When he came out for the reunion, I just thought he was a little too comfortable, like in front of the cameras that quickly. When like if it was and I was stepping into this reunion and there were cameras on me and there was Andy Cohen and there was like a whole slew of people watching me, I would just feel a little uncomfortable. I would be a little awkward, and I expected him to be a little awkward, and he was just a little bit too comfortable. And I was like,
yeah,
please know your place.
Yeah. But yeah. Dolores's David has been on the show in and out for like 2 seasons now. And every time it looks like he is laughing at Dolores because he's so awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like he looks so genuinely like, I don't want to be here, but he can't get it together.
Like, you are from listen, I'm a nice, I am so upset about it.
He's like, I am a nice man from New Jersey. I am in the hospital every day. I like to go back to trying to be here. Emergency, never thought of it that way. He did see, he sat down in that chair like he owned the joint. Like he had been there chewing gum. A million times.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
And I'm like, and Risa would think. Risa was so confused as to why he was there. She was so shocked. My fiance would never be able to pull that over on me, but also she's like, wait, why are you here? It gave me some kind of like, we discussed whether or not he'd want to be on the show or something. Here, he did this for me. Like, this felt like this was his moment and he wasn't there for her.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
No, I agree. I think that he definitely took it on for himself. And I don't know. I feel like it's a little too good to be true and too quick, too soon. And I'm not here for it at all.
Yeah. Totally. You know what I am here for though? I'll tell you, Kathy Hilton. on Beverly Hills, making a very big splash. Many people have asked and wondered, where was she all this time and why have we never gotten her? I vaguely remember Kathy being in like season one in a couple of scenes, like when they went over her house, because it's also been rumored that the show of Beverly Hills was originally something, a concept for Kyle, like Kyle and her family, because her sisters are, as you know now, very kooky. And Kyle is very boring because her sisters are nuts in the best way. She love it. Lovable nut.
It's her role.
Yes. And so I believe that Kathy just kept saying no. And that's why Bravo is very excited. She got a whole end up happens.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm in the minority here where I think Kathy is interesting, and I understand why people are like fascinated by her, because she reminds them of Kim Richards and she's like kooky and weird and eccentric. But like, I don't know if you watched the Paris Hilton documentary, but we just forgetting that she like sent her daughter like to a camp where they abused her. And like, is anybody going to hold her feet to the fire for that? Like, yes, she might have been aloof and didn't know it was like what it was, but I just think like I watched that first before I watched this. So I've like went into the season and I was like, I want someone to call her out for that. Like Garcelle, Sutton, like nobody wants to cross Kyle, and that's why no one's bringing it up, because it's her sister. But I would be, if I was there, I'd be like, Kathy, like tell me about what's happening with Paris and like this documentary that she did, because I, as a viewer, I'm like, I can't get past that. And so I just have like a bad taste in my mouth about her. But I will say she's entertaining, but I know I'm in the minority for the people that are thinking that.
No, listen, I wonder if Kathy A has seen this documentary. I don't know if she knows how to work a television. B, I like the trope of like a rich woman not knowing how the world works, because she didn't know it was a Red Bull, because she's never drinking anything out of a can. Everything's given to her in a glass by someone who works for her. And that I do enjoy, because it does seem more authentic to me than like Ramona, who just acts like she has so much money and so many nice things and so many servants that she's just like, you know, can't be bothered with regular people and downtown things. Kathy genuinely has been rich for so long, she doesn't know what the fuck is going on. She genuinely is like, what is a soda? Where is it? And she's thinking that like being out with the girls is fun. I think she thinks she's slumming it with this cast, and that makes me laugh.
Yeah,
because she's like, oh yeah, guys, like we're on like a camping trip and they're in like a 10,000 square foot mansion in Tahoe. And she's like, this is so fun. Like, oh my God, I'm like out here roughing it. And I'm that is fun to me. However, I do prefer Kim Richards any day. I love Kim. I think Kim is really, really great on TV. I just hope she's well. And I prefer any sister to Kyle. So it doesn't really matter, because I just famously don't love Kyle. I did love, however, when Garcelle did kind of call Paris out, or Kathy, to her face. Like, to have the balls to say to a mother, your daughter was annoying as hell growing up.
Right?
I was like, oh.
You were like, we're really going there. Wow. I was like, I clutched my pearls at that moment. I was like, oh, okay, Garcelle. I mean, Garcelle, she's such an amazing addition to Beverly Hills. She's not afraid of Kyle. She checks her. And I love that, because Kyle does need some checking once in a while.
So much checking.
I'm really here for Kyle and Sutton and Garcelle's friendship. Like, I'm fascinated by it. They're so different. Sutton is the type of kooky that like I am very interested in exploring more of. I think Crystal is a really good addition to the cast. Just from the jump, she seems like she has a really interesting story.
Can I tell you, I have to eat crow on it, because when I saw her, this is why you do not judge books by their cover. I looked at this little girl and was like, oh no, she has not lived enough. And me, the young person, being like, I like my housewives older with so much money that they're like Kathy, they don't know what to do with. And Crystal was going to give me like original MKE vibes, where like there is nothing going on at home for her, so she has to like make stuff happen. And it's fine when, you know, someone's boyfriend is faking cancer, but when your whole life is like, my husband is the star and I am the background supporting star, it's like Camille Grammer all over again. And I get really anxious and I don't want that. And then Crystal is like, oh no, girl, I am a full, full-fledged woman, an individual with a personality. Mm-hmm. And I've never been more pleased to be wrong in my whole life. She's amazing for a fresh out the gate.
She's really giving it to us too. And like, I'm very fascinated by her like Chinese pop star brother. Like, I want to know more about her upbringing. Like, I loved the conversation that she had with Sutton in the car about her dad's passing. Like, I love when housewives are very vulnerable from the jump. And I can tell that she is going to give us some shady moments. She's going to give us some vulnerability. And she's also not afraid to like get in the mix and scrap, which you can't be in the housewives. You can't be like Sutton. It gets overwhelmed by confrontation. Like Crystal, I feel like she can thrive off of it. She can go back and forth. Like even some of her slick comments in the confessionals where she was like, there's 20 years between Sutton and I. And it's like, there's like 12 years.
Yeah. Give or take a decade.
I'm like, okay, you know what? I live for the shade. I love it. So I'm pleasantly surprised as well by her because I didn't think I was going to like her as much as I do. And I think that she was a really good addition to the cast.
I agree. I like that she also knows when to kind of like stop because there were moments when she realized that Sutton seemed to be kind of drunk. And I think that if Sutton wasn't drunk, she would not have interrupted Crystal so heavily. I think Sutton's mind unraveled and it spiraled to, they're going to try to make me out to be the racist. And I don't think that she was inherently concerned that she is racist, though I think that there is definitely some checklist things that Sutton could afford to do on herself. Just to double check, just to be absolutely sure, fully sure, positive. But I think that she was more like Garcelle's friend. She's like, they choose someone a year to get rid of.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if they liked you before, they'll get rid of you. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, Sutton's like overly paranoid that it's going to be her.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh no, you're not about to do this. Because I'm like looking, I was rewatching it because I saw the teaser clip and was like, oh, there must be some conflicts that I'm missing. Sutton's like telling Crystal, I am not about to do this. Like they had said, you're a racist because, and she's like, no. But there was no context. There were cocktails and late nights. And she was like, no, what we're not going to do is this. And then I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, white fragility definitely did come out when she was like, I think I deserve an apology because that was not nice. And Chris was like, okay, girl.
Yes, 100%.
Right.
And you're like, really? You're going to go there?
Which is one of the reasons why I do really like Crystal, because I do think that she's good at stopping a situation. She's not always going to defend why she thinks or feels the way she does. And I like a woman who knows time and place because she keeps smirking. She gets this smirk on her face and she goes, okay. Kinda we're going like to have to agree to disagree.
She's saving it for a rainy day. She knows when to play her card.
Yes. And Kyle was like, agree to disagree on what? She goes, it's fine. And I'm like, yes, girl. She's like, yeah, I'm not about to get wrinkles over you. I'm not about to be yelling about everything, getting my face off, lush girl, no. And I appreciate that. And then, of course, very next day, another fight. And the next night, another fight. So she's like, I'm going to pace myself. I'm just getting started. And I appreciate her for that. And I also appreciate, well, I will say, Sutton, I did like her. And whether or not, like, the debatability of her microaggressions or ignorance, at least, slight racism at best, aside, she's got to stop crying, every 5 minutes. This is Beverly Hills. They really do go after someone every 5 minutes. So you have to stop crying. Because I felt anxious when she looked at Erica and she was like, don't you always feel that people just think that we're racist because we're from the South? And Erica's like, nah,
yeah, I don't think that at all.
And for Dorit to call her uncultured, I cackled. I was like, yo, you got fake accent over here to your left telling you that you haven't traveled enough as an actual rich woman. And I love that they're equating like traveling to like being an absolution of like anti-racism. I'm like, you know the two don't coexist.
It's
anti-blackness is global. Like anti lots of things is global. Multiple parts of the world don't like other parts of the world.
Yeah,
so constitute
of like how racist or unracist you are. It's like, no, right. Not like how it works at all.
But I absolutely love Dorit having, like, in my mind, I could envision a shirt that says, like, me being a child of the world, like, in her accent from Connecticut.
I have to say, Dorit is, like, probably somebody that has grown on me the most since they started. Like, I hated her at first, and I find her so fascinating now. It's the flip side with Erica Jane. Like, loved her at first, can't stand her now. I think she's, like, holier than thou. What are your thoughts on Erica and all of this shenanigans with her?
I'm not surprised, because I felt very cold when we first met her. When Dorit first came on the show, I thought Dorit was super uptight. Erica, you flashed my husband your underwear. I'm like, no, she didn't. But I actually still believe that Dorit is still the same individual. She's just found her tune to the song, and she's found her remix of it. Whereas Erica, all people have wanted is more access to her. And I am finding it hard to now believe, if you knew absolutely nothing about your husband's life and affairs and everything that he was doing, are you just that guarded that you went on a reality TV show to share nothing about your life? I don't understand the connection. If you're this guarded, why go on TV? Like, I don't get it. Because I'm getting nothing from her all these years. And then all of a sudden, this major thing happens, and we're led to believe that she's going to talk about it finally. Like, why? How? I didn't really know she had a son until she was, like, yelling at Lisa Rinna in, like, low hush tones in Tokyo. You don't know what I go through at night. And she's, like, yelling at Teddy a year later, don't ever do that to me again. I'm like, what are you talking about? So right. I'm like, you have all these trigger points, right? But your husband allegedly having dementia, allegedly defrauding victims and orphans of plane crashes, that's not a trigger point for you?
Yeah.
I'm so confused. Like, how is that now when you're going to quote unquote open up? And now Bravo is like, oh, she talks. Does she? But she won't talk about her son who's alive and a cop, but she'll talk about this?
Yeah, I'm not expecting any thing groundbreaking from her this season where she reveals something that's like shock and awe. Like,
I wouldn't believe it.
Talking about it is like Dorit at the table being like, orphans, and Erica's like, I can't talk about that. Like, it's not gonna be anything happening to us.
Who, Hayden, who plays two truths and a lie and talks about the mafia?
Yeah.
Do you not understand how? No, Kathy doesn't understand how the game works. She's never played with people anything. She's never had a game to play. Like, her Monopoly set is pure diamonds made from Tiffany's and like sterling silver, 100 karat gold, or whatever. Like, she doesn't play real games. Uno is porcelain in her house.
Right. But,
so I don't expect her to know. She goes, oh, I guess I said all truth. Like, Erica is like, oh, I guess you have to figure out which one's the lie. And they figure it out. So you're connected to the mafia? She goes, I can't confirm. Girl, you offered the information.
Right?
You confirmed it.
Like, what? It makes
what?
Sense. Why?
When you said the lie,
let us know what it is. Like, right? It makes no sense.
I do not understand. I'm very disappointed in that. Like, I don't know. I don't love Erica. I like her fashions, but I've also always thought that Dorit was actually like a better fashion girl to me, because to me, Dorit does, she plays with fashion. Like, she goes into these designers and these look and these things, and she may, yes, it's of course probably Rent the Runway. Allegedly, I don't know anything, but it's giving Rent the Runway. But I appreciate the information she takes into the rentals, what she's looking for in these rentals, right? Like, she's not renting a Toyota Camry from Enterprise. She goes to the luxury rental vehicles and rents the nice car. And I like that. I think she takes a risk in fashion and styling and likes to create looks and moments that like could be in a catalog. Whereas to me, Erica creates characters. And I think that both are great. And I think they do two different things, and I connect more with Dorit playing with Dior's entire like monochromatic line, or like their multicolor line, color blocking, pink shoe, green shoe. Whereas Erica and the latex, you know, and the bangs, it's nice. It's just that to me, that's not fashion. It's a character. Like, it's fashion. She's using clothes, but to me, it's like, how do I create a story? Whereas Dorit is like, how do I create a moment?
Yeah.
Like, I get Miranda Priestly would be proud. Like, this is something that would be styled in Vogue. She'd be like, oh, I want this. Like, I get Devil Wears Prada vibes. Like, yeah. I'm watching a shoot happen with Dorit. When she came down with those, like, fake-ass baby hairs and her Chanel gloves, like, the motorcycle gloves, and she was like, look, girls, fashion. And I was like, yeah, it is. Oh, yes. I like it. And I like what she told us. Look at my outfit.
I really can't deal with Erica's whole creative team too. Like Mikey, if I see one more scene,
why do we meet a new one every week, Hayden? Why do we meet a new one every week
with Mikey Minden? I'm actually going to like start crying. I just can't handle him anymore. I don't need to see him like styling an outfit for Erica. Like, just get skip that part. Go to the outfit. Like, who is Mikey screwing at Bravo to get in all of these scenes? Like, how is he?
Oh
so
my God! Out? Do you know how I first was introduced to him? I will tell you. Dance Moms.
Wait, did you? Do you ever watch Search for the Next Pussycat Doll?
Yes, I did. Oh my! I did not even remember that.
Yeah,
I remember him from Dance Moms. Because when I started watching Beverly Hills, I was like, "Is that Mia's choreographer, Mikey?" And it was. And I was like, "What's he doing from Pittsburgh? I don't understand." Like.
Dr. Holly Fraser sent him all the way to Beverly Hills.
Yes. And then I was like, did he leave Mia to work with Erica? That's rude. I like Mia. I was very upset, but I also started watching Housewives very young. I used to keep my finger on the last button, like the recall button on the remote to like go back to Disney Channel, because I was not supposed to be watching all these grown women have sexual things happen and curse a lot. And I just kept like watching in the corner, and I would like hit the button really quick to go back, like that's a Raven or something. Cause I was just like, this is for me. I don't know what it is, but I need to watch it. But I was like, how did he end up here? I'm very confused. I do not know what's happening. But it's what's weird to me is we keep meeting a new member of the Glam Squad every week, knowing how much she spends on glam every month. Who, what are your thoughts on the producers? So some people think that the producers played Erica's song, It's Expensive to Be Me, last week before showing everything about her closet to give her royalties. I believe it was to be shady.
I think it was to be shady. I think they're, I feel like they're alluding to what's to come, and they know that Bravo Twitter picks up on every single thing that production does.
Yes.
Like in Atlanta, they're very shady. Beverly Hills, they haven't always been as shady as they are being this season with the Erica stuff.
They haven't really had a reason to be, but now they've made it.
And I think that honestly, I think it's Bravo kind of covering their ass a little bit, because for years they've been portrayed as like playing Erica's side. And I feel like a lot of times the production team, they have favorites that they tell their story and they don't tell certain aspects of their life because, you know, they think that they're a good character or whatever it might be that it is. I think that they're kind of like, all right, we kind of need to lay into Erica a little bit, and we're not gonna do it by like firing her because she has a really interesting story this season. So we'll do into it by like, editing these clips in, you know, throwing these little hint, subtle like flashbacks into things. So I'm interested to see how the production continues to do that throughout the season with her and Tom's divorce, with her legal stuff going on. I'm very interested.
I am too. I have to say, Beverly Hills has now been dethroned as the highest rated show. It always teeter-tottered between Atlanta and Beverly Hills. Since Nene's departure, I am not equating the two. I am just simply stating a date marker. All of Bravo is somewhat down, but then you have like your top chefs, your Married to Medicines, your Shaws that are pulling 7, 8 or higher, and they're doing great. And Beverly Hills is not. What do you have from what you're seeing this season as someone who does watch Beverly Hills? Do you have any thoughts on why this could be happening, where the shifts could have been, or is it just like a fluke accident?
I honestly think it has to do a little bit with promotion and scheduling.
Okay.
I think that I personally think like Sunday and Monday are like the hot spots for like TV. And like you look at Shaw's, you look at Atlanta, it's always on Sundays. Same thing with Below Deck is now like the highest rated show or highest viewed show on Bravo. Like, does that have to do with Mondays at all? It just seems a little bit suspect because like I don't know, like the Below Deck fandom is not as loud, and maybe that's just because they are not as like vocal, but they're not as intense as the Housewives fandom. So why is it that it's not translating on to the viewership? It seems a little bit weird to me. I mean, I also think that the longer these seasons go on and the longer these shows go on, people kind of just fall off. Hills last year, you know, at the end of the season, like I wasn't even watching consistently because I couldn't deal with freaking Denise and Lisa Rinna fighting anymore. Like it was just, I was over it. And like shows like Salt Lake City and Potomac, like I am in every episode when it is airing because I need to know what's happening because I'm just so much more invested in it. So I think it probably has to do with a little bit of fall off from people that are just kind of sick of it, a little bit of like the programming and the behind the scenes of that. But mm-hmm. you know, it is interesting to see that Beverly Hills has fallen off, and I'm interested to see where Potomac falls, like with the Sunday night air date of it.
Yeah.
Just to kind of see like what's working, what's not. Like, is it days? Is it times? Is it, you know, is it the Housewives themselves? Like, what is it?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, weekdays are tough for anyone, especially a Wednesday, Thursday. Because if I don't have work on a Friday, I'm going to happy hour on a Wednesday yeah. and Thursday. And if Thursday is my new Friday, I'm going to treat it as such. Exactly. So I like to have a little fun. And it's summer, which is a lot. I love this about adulthood, is that even when it's summer, your work schedule doesn't usually change, but yet your nightlife does. Like, absolutely. It's June, I'm going out at 4 on a Wednesday, even absolutely. Though I do have work tomorrow, because I had in September and November, but it's June, so we must drink iced drinks outside on a patio absolutely. Somewhere.
Absolutely.
And I really love that. So, yeah, I think that's a lot to do with that. I also just think, I get surprised whenever I post information or something about a feud or a dynamic on a show, and I'll get a lot of people who will sporadically be like, oh yeah, I stopped watching last season after mm-hmm. X, Y, and Z. I'm like, oh, so people just like only watch TV that they enjoy.
Yeah, I would.
Nice.
I mean,
don't know what that's like.
This is like a job for us, so we need to watch these shows so we're staying tuned to
crazy.
It honestly is wild because there are housewives that like Dallas this season, like I watched it because I felt like I needed to, but I didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed Tiffany Moon, but I didn't enjoy the season overall, you know what I mean?
No, I had a terrible time. I hated it. Yeah, but like a carousel with a child, like with a screaming child, I was like, I can't get off because I can't leave you here, and we're just going round and round in circles slowly, like we're going very slow. And another one that's suffering, which I always like to get people's thoughts on, is New York, because New York has never had great, they haven't had great ratings for at least 4 or 5 seasons. Mm-hmm. But yet, almost everyone I talk to, they always say something like, oh, well, New York is my favorite. I love the Roni women. They're always their favorite. And then I ask them things like, why? And they'll say, it's just, it feels comfortable. I'm like, so how many days do you make a date to be comfortable? Like, right? That's why their ratings are like that, because you don't make comfortable TV. That's Schitt's Creek. Like, bingeable TV is what people use for comfort. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I like to have it on in the background. Like, you're the reason the ad dollars aren't going, girl. Yeah. Like, then something needs to change, because New York can't be comfortable like a weighted blanket for all of us. It's supposed to make money, and yeah. it won't make any if it's not it needs to be your happy hour destination, not yeah. your rainy Friday. If it happens, it happens. I'll watch it destination.
Mm-hmm. I think it just has lost its entertainment value, because I mean, I love New York. It's definitely one of my top favorites. I'll always say that, because I just love, I mean, I love Sonia Ramona, even though she's absolutely off her rocker, like she's entertaining, I'll give her that, regardless of like everything else she's done and said, like she's entertainment at the end of the day. But the storylines are just kind of recycled, and I think that the fans right. are aware of that and know it, and like if we miss a few episodes, we don't have to go back and watch them. We can really pick off wherever. And I think New York really needs at least a six housewife season. They can't keep doing these 5 housewife seasons where there's only 5 main housewives. I feel like that is just shooting yourself in the foot. Like, you need to have enough people. I personally am here for 7-8 housewives. Like, I really like
you. Like a big cast.
Like a big cast, because I get sick of people. Like, I want to see multiple dynamics. I want layers. I want this person who's friends with that person fighting with that person's friend. Like, I want it all. And I feel like that's when those casts are so dynamic, because, and that's what Jersey gives us. There's so many layers, and that's why I think people love it so much. But New York, I think it's just kind of stagnant right now. I love that. I really think that she brings something new, fresh to the show. I love the perspective she brings as a Black woman, you know, to New York. It's about damn time. I'm interested to see
the
introduction of Bershon Shaw, because I know she's coming in as a friend of, but we haven't met her yet. So I'm very interested to see like what that dynamic brings, and if there's fresh new storylines from that. But right now it's just kind of like same old song and dance, with Sonia crying about her husband gone for 10, 15 years.
The husband that she divorced, or that divorced her for cheating longer ago than she was married to him. Yeah. I agree. You know what? I really wish that they had actually made Bershon a full-time cast member, because I don't like when only one person of color is on a cast, or one minority person is on a cast. I even am happy that like Crystal has Garcelle, and Garcelle has Crystal, because even though they're two separate minorities, there was a moment that Lisa Rinna was like, they were all talking about like the shock and amazement that they had that former president and former host of popular television show that I used to enjoy, Celebrity Apprentice, there was a different side of him that people disagreed with.
Yeah,
them on that cast. And Rinna, they were all talking about it with such shock and dismay. They're like, I cannot believe it. And Lisa's like, she's genuinely hurt that the man that fired her twice is like also bad to other people, like in a nation. So she's like, what? And there's a moment that the camera cuts to Garcelle and Crystal, and they're both smirking as two of the biggest targeted groups of that entire party. Like, it's gold, because they're both like, this is not our fight. And I just am like, I really enjoy that. It's because in a lot of ways, like, I've had that moment being like the only other woman in the room, the only other Black person in the room, the only other gay person in the room, the only other Black gay woman in the room.
Yeah.
I've had that moment where you find another gay and you're like, oh, here they go, girl. Like, we are going colors, and you're like, give them 10 seconds, they'll come to us. 10 seconds, just give it. And they're like, do you have any ideas? Oh, showtime.
Let me tell you,
those moments are really fun.
They are.
Those moments are so fun. Like, yes, we're just here for the multicolor cupcake. Thank you so much. Because I wish I go back and forth on whether or not these were choice words or they were made by choice, where Luann says, you're acting very angry right now. I don't want to assume, I believe Luann knew what she was saying. I don't believe you get to that big grown age in New York and you don't have a little bit of understanding of what a stereotype is. Angry Black woman stereotype is like the oldest stereotype ever. So of many, but like that's a classic. So I don't believe she genuinely did not know, but I also know that I could be working from a triggered place, much like Garcelle, who was like, I had no problem with Garcelle asking Kyle, like, would you have asked me that if I was a white woman? Because she's like, I've been triggered and I don't know what's real and what's not because this has happened to me before. I'm working from this experience of someone calling me angry and invalidating my experiences and having to wonder if I should like write a tip on the check or not, or just talk to the manager or write a Yelp review, but I'm out of money and I was mistreated. How is that fair?
Yeah.
So I'm like, and actually meant it or not, but I would have loved if Bershon was there to add a different perspective, even if it's one that disagreed with Ebony's. I just like complexity in that. I think one of the reasons that I love Potomac so much is because they show there is so much complexity in what it is to be a Black woman. They've argued about how each other identifies in the Black race multiple times because there is no one answer. And I hate that Ebony is like grandfathered in as the overall stand-in for Black women in New York. Yeah. And same with Tiffany Moon. She's like, I am here to absolve Brandy, question mark? I am here to make sure everyone knows that it's okay to say this about Asians, just don't say that. Like, she doesn't speak for everyone. And I just would like a little bit of complexity at that table, because that was a tough, I haven't had that hard of a time watching New York. I have not turned off Housewives in years. Like, probably since Luann's, no, I even watched through the Afro. I did, the Diana Ross Afro. I was just like, oh, I was just stressed.
Oh my God, no, I was too. I was watching it and I was very, I think that since the conversation was about education, the fact that Luann was arguing that she was educated, but also using that stereotype in a way towards Ebony, it's like, okay, so the argument is that you're educated, so you should know that that's a stereotype, so you should know that you shouldn't be pointing those words at me, but you are, but you're trying to argue that you're educated. Like, it just made
Also, your refusal to listen to her, because Ebony was saying, we can't use crass language as a marker of education. Yeah. Educated people use crass language. Luann, you've used crass language and you're saying you're an educated individual. And Ebony was simply making a point, as someone who literally has a doctorate.
Yeah.
I say dick. And guess what? I'm still educated. They're not going to come take my JD, girl. They're going to leave it on the wall.
I love this moment when
she
was like, I can leave your house, Lou. And I'm like, just go, Ebony. Like, get out of there. Like, get out.
Don't even. And if Sonia is being the voice of reason, and this woman is literally thinking if a person doesn't get a mortgage at Chase, that she will no longer be able to live, you know something's going on. She's like, I don't think she's yelling or anything. I think she's just using her words. You're not listening to
her. That's when you know.
And of course, everyone's seen now the clip that's been going around of Bethany like berating Lou last year in Miami, where Lou literally just swallowed it and took it. And that is probably where I was getting the trigger of, like, she had to know what she was saying, because Bethany's yelling at her and she's like, okay, and she's listening. And even Ramona is showing empathy. You're missing her pain. Listen to her. This is so sad. I'm like, Ramona doesn't even like Bethany. She can't stand the girl. But she's empathizing with her. But Ebony's yelling is hurting her ears. And then 10 seconds earlier, she's banging on a table. Bang, bang, yell, yell. Stop it. To Leah, I'm like, Leah yells every 10 minutes. And that's no shade. Do what you got to do. Yell. I don't care.
Backwards, it's ass backwards.
But this is Housewives.
Yeah, it is, and I'm very interested to see.
Everyone's yelling.
I'm very interested to see, one, what comes next week or this week, and then two, for Sean being added to the mix, what happens with her? Because I've seen kind of her and Ebony not really getting along, so I'm interested.
And that is okay.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm just.
I am not friends with every Black woman I meet. I'm usually only friends with the ones when I'm in a room full of, I don't know, old aged white women who scare me and I don't know where it's going. Otherwise, that's okay. We watch it on Potomac. We see it on Atlanta. Not to mention, we see it on Beverly Hills, New Jersey. And New Jersey, they're all usually related and don't get along.
Yeah.
We've seen complexity of white women for years, and they don't always get along and they have different experiences. And I would like to see those. I want to see the differences. I want to see what each woman has, what it's taken for them to assume the ranks and kind of infiltrate in this society and this culture of like rich upper echelon New York living. I really want to see that. So I don't feel much for New York other than I don't think it's destination television. I enjoyed the painting. I don't know if I would have given up my Wednesday night happy hour to watch Ramona sensually dance to a man. And Sonia yet again tell us that she wants to date a banker. We know, girl. I turned it off and turned on Top Chef because I was like, I'm not doing it with Lou. I'm not about to get mad at a TV show of women I don't like or don't know. I'm not doing it. So I see where it goes. I agree. I'm interested to see how Bershawn kind of adds into the mix. And Heather and Leah, I can't wait for them to go at it. I don't know why. I don't know whose side I'll be on. I truly don't know.
Same. I really don't know, but I'm interested to. But I'll pick one after this episode.
Right? I love it because they really do give me, like, rich, older, white women who have no real problems. And I enjoy that tenor of things when it's in parody or when it doesn't affect me and I have a choice in watching it, like on Roni or like on your TikToks when I watch you give fantastic influencer parody, but like done perfectly, like to the point where I'm pretty sure some influencer somewhere is like, oh, I think after me.
Yeah, right.
And I enjoy that. Like, can you just give me a little bit, give the people a little bit of inspiration as to why you started doing these amazing videos, what your inspiration is? Yeah. Because I genuinely find at least 3 videos to show one new person a week. Because I'm they're so funny. Like, it's funny. Next level.
Honestly, the inspiration mainly comes from myself because I work in influencer marketing full time. So I deal with, you know, influencers all over the world all the time, and I just have so much inspiration that's like on my feed, that passes through me, that's on my stories, that's just random. And I have just been kind of sick of it all. Everybody's the same and it's all the same bullshit, different day. And I was like, I need to just like vent, and my venting actually in the form of comedy. It's how I make fun of people. It's like I'm very sarcastic, and you know, a lot of my clients are influencers and they're like, they follow me and they see it and they're like, there's this weird dichotomy of like you making fun of influencers but also being one. And it's honestly taken a life of its own. It's crazy. I mean, it's now like a job of mine to be able to do this, and like to call this a job is like insane. So it's like weird that I'm making fun of influencers turned me into one. And then now I consider myself one, I guess.
Yes, but with a twist. Like this one, it's my favorite. It's when you take Jared Brooklyn Brinkley, those names are fun. If you know, you know. To like vacation, and you tour the cute, quaint little vacation home. Like, oh my God, it's just so small. Not used to being in this tiny little house, and you're in the mirror going, me. And I just, it's like I've seen this Instagram story 1,000 times. What is your least favorite trend or like general consensus that influencers do that makes you like roll your eyes in a fun way? Like, what was like one that you love putting in your parodies of like, this one is just,
I think the statement so many of you asked, or I've gotten a lot of questions about, when in reality, like there's no chance in hell anybody asked about your vacuum cleaner. It's like, a lot of you have been asked about my vacuum cleaner. It's like, bitch, you're about to put an ad in, like, stop. Like, we know what's coming. We are primed for this. Like, stop it. Just throw the vacuum cleaner. Just put the ad in. Just do it. Don't ask. We didn't ask about it.
Right. Just tell me you love your vacuum and I'll judge for myself if I want it or not.
Exactly.
I absolutely love it. Where can people find these hilarious videos, more of your hot takes, and all things you?
You can follow me on Instagram at haters, HAYDERZ. You can follow me on TikTok at YUHayden. You can find me on the streets of Boston if you're a man listening, single.
Okay, plug. Y'all better go ahead and find Hayden somewhere in the streets of Boston or on the internet if you are not the man that he is looking for. Yes, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun.
Yes. Okay, y'all. Of course, you know what to do. All these shameless plugs. Patreon, we're doing Bachelor and Bachelorette this season. I am covering it. So that is already happening. By the time this goes up, I probably will have episode 1 up there. We're also doing Rewind and Rewatch, like you heard last week with Kendrick. I have lots of other episodes going through Potomac, the first episode, Beverly Hills, the first episode. I'll be doing every single one, and even some non-Housewives. I'll be doing those on Patreon and Hot Topics as usual. also have a t-shirt and merch line, or there's lots of new things on there because I got to pay for this damn wedding. Y'all know that. That I'm very happy and grateful for, and so excited to also have this marriage. But right now is this damn wedding, and it's I'm paying for it in literal blood, sweat, tears, and like a gym membership. So yes. All those things are there for you to engage in. Of course, the free thing like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Mixing with Mani, M-I-X-I-N-G. W-I-T-H-M-A-N-I. As always, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay home. And thank you so much to the anonymous people that I won't get to know until it's time, like the wedding's over, who have already gotten things off of my registry. What is going on? I saw that like the flour, sugar, and something else that's like labeled, but containers, because I really want to do like the whole home edit thing. Those have been like delivered to my house, and I'm just very grateful. Thank you so much. If you're interested in looking at my registry, don't know why you would be, but thank you. That is linked other places. Or if you want to read the love story between me and my fiance and stop talking about it, but I never will, you're welcome to do that as well. Because unlike Brittany, I or Leanne on Dallas, I am 25 and I deserve this. This is my first. Only my fiance would get really mad at me if I didn't say only. So I'm very excited for it. So if you want to read about it or whatever, then my wedding website is also linked on all of my link trees. So thank y'all. Take care of yourselves and each other. And thank you to anyone who has helped contribute to making my new house a home. I'm almost done moving in, and then I'll get back to regularly scheduled programming. Okay, love you. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Mixing with Mani. If you'd like to connect with me more, follow me on Instagram at Mixing with Mani, MixingWithMani. That's where you can find a bunch of Bravo and pop culture related content, news, and of course, some shady fun memes. Also, my DMs. Feel free to come talk to me about anything you want, TV, Bravo, or even your one-star feelings and opinions about the podcast. Otherwise, definitely rate, review, and subscribe. I can't wait to connect with you guys more, and I'll talk to you next week.